Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
What the fuck are we doing?
We're doing a We Just Watched, you guy.
Oh,
you big old guy, you.
Oh, hi, everyone.
Big old guy.
Hi there. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, my name's David Bell.
I'm Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Frankenstein.
Yeah. It's Attack of the 50-Foot Nick Cave.
Well, I feel he's very important from a scientific point of view.
I'd have to cut off a leg or an arm.
Doctors, I won't let you conduct this test.
Frankenstein, with the strength of 1,000 men. And every man's need for affection that makes him a willing captive.
The chain hurts you.
All right, it's Thursday. Y'all know what that means. This is a We Just Watched classic. This is where a patron, a wonderful patron, gave us a movie. In this case, a choice of movies to watch. And we watched it for them. And now we have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And this is brought to you by Bob Grenville.
Yeah, thank Bob you. Grenville.
Thank you, Bob, for you know, saying, do this. Do
and
it.
And then we said, yeah. Yeah. We will do that.
He said, you fucking nobodies, dance. Dance for us. I've been drinking coffee, Tom.
And then he hit us in the knees with a sock full of quarters.
Yeah, he said, all right,
we'll watch the Frankenstein.
We'll watch it. Please stop.
We'll watch your Frankenstein. Please. I have a family.
And he pissed in our mouths. Each of our mouths.
He broke the movie up into little shards and rubbed it in our eyes.
Yeah. He pissed in
You're
one of our mouths.
It. You're watching it.
He pissed in one of our mouths, and then he had to drink a bunch of water and wait to piss in our other mouth.
Yeah, instead of sit there and wait.
Yeah, he didn't do both mouths with one piss.
Come on. That's unrealistic.
Exactly.
You got to recharge the piss tanks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, this movie, Tom, how'd you like this movie?
I liked it okay. It was more of a... I was not expecting it to be, because you had told me it was the director of the original Godzilla.
Eshiro Honda, I believe is his name.
So I was not expecting it to be quite so much of the cheeseball giant monster movies.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. It's directed by the writer-director of the original, is the 50s Godzilla? That's the original.
Yeah.
Of the original Godzilla, it's not written by him. I don't know who wrote it, actually. I should have looked that up, because...
You son of a bitch.
This movie is pretty batshit.
Yeah, this movie is wild.
Yeah, I really liked it, and then I got a little... Once they started just fighting, I was like, yeah.
Right, they all get very boring.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's a weird... I'm fascinated by this, and I have a feeling I'm about to ask a question that someone who knows kaiju films understands more. But this was made in 1965.
Yes.
It involves... So the plot is that the Nazis had Frankenstein's heart.
Yeah, they did.
Frankenstein...
They come and pick it up from Frankenstein in the middle of World War II.
Frankenstein, who looks like he's played by a time-traveling like David Harbour. The Nazis grab it from Frankenstein. And they have the monster's heart. They just call it Frankenstein in this, I think, the monster. Mm-hmm. And then they bring the heart. The Japanese intercept it. And they have it, and they bring it to Hiroshima. And guess what happens next?
Oh no!
Yeah, Hiroshima is blown up.
Yeah.
And then this takes place after that, and it involves, this was a Japanese-American co-production.
Yes.
Which is why, yeah. I think that's weird. It's like if we made a movie about Frankenstein's heart getting blown up on 9/11, right? Like, Hiroshima is huge, you know? It's a big tragic thing.
This is like 19 years later. After Hiroshima, so it's not even like...
That seems... Also, the guy doing the special effects, I forget his name, he did propaganda films for the Japanese during World War II. It's very much people involved, you know, in that war.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to make of that.
I don't know.
I know that kaiju films were kind of a, you know, or definitely a reflection of the Hiroshima bomb. And it's like, well, how does a culture, how do people deal with something that catastrophic happening to them?
Frankenstein
movies 20 years later. And that is to say, we could do 9/11 stuff now. I think
we
that
could
was
do
just 9/11 a cheeseball.
Frankenstein.
We could do 9/11 Frankenstein. It's weird to watch.
Yeah, it's a fascinating watch.
So,
oh my goodness, this movie.
So the Nazis, the Nazis steal Frankenstein's heart.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked
Frankenstein's castle. Like, it's like a haunted castle.
Yes.
And then the Nazis show up. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, it's just like, this is immediately amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, right, Frankenstein, he's so mad. He smashes his lab.
He goes apeshit and just bashes all of his expensive Bunsen burners with his bare little Frankenstein hands.
I mean, imagine it. You have a lab, you're doing something, and then Nazis come in.
Like, Frankenstein.
We'll take that.
Yeah, and then the Nazis come in, and they do their salute to nobody. Like, you're like, you're not saluting me. Like, what?
They're just showing everybody that they're Nazis.
Right. They're just dunking on me now.
Yeah. Then, let's see. They bring it on the submarine, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this was the moment I realized one of my favorite things about this whole movie from beginning to end is nobody is that impressed with what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of just business as usual.
Right. Yeah.
I thought this was going to tie into another kaiju film, and it was originally made as a sequel, I guess, to one, but it's not. It's just, it's an independent world where this just happens.
Yeah.
And these guys risk their life to get this trunk, and the scientist is like, you want to see what's in it? And he opens it, and it's a still beating heart, and he's just like, yeah, that's Frankenstein's heart. And the army... and the army guys just sort of nod. And it's Like, imagine this moment, Tom. Because they also mentioned Frankenstein from the book. Like, they mentioned him as a fictional character. This isn't a different world. So, like, imagine you risk your life and they're like, yeah, here it is, Frankenstein's heart. You would be like, no, it isn't. But if it was, that's worse.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want Frankenstein's still beating heart?
What are we going to do with this? They're like, well, you see, it can't die, so contained somewhere within this heart. They're like, Frankenstein has been murdered many times, so if we can figure out the secret of his heart, we could, like, they want to, we could, like, change the world.
Right. I think the equivalent is if right now the government burst in and, like, took us to go on a mission and was like, you need to do this, and we had to get, like, a box, and it was, like, really difficult, and then they brought it to us, and they're like, you want to see what's inside? And there was a heart, and they're like, this is Jason Voorhees' heart. And it's like, wait, what? Like, that's
excuse
the equivalent.
Me?
It's just like, you mean the fictional character's heart? Like, that's what Frankenstein is in this universe. It's he's not legend.
Were those documentaries? What?
Yeah. We know they were written by someone.
What is this?
What is going on? Nobody is bullshit over it. They're just like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
No, that's like pretty standard kaiju movie stuff where, like, nobody ever really reacts like it's anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it's just this is what's going on now. This is the world. This is the world we live in. So then they get bombed. The Americans bomb Frankenstein's heart in Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
And we
move. They sure do.
Yeah, we move to a new character who I just kept calling young Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, he did look real Putin-esque.
Yeah, he's Putin-y.
He looked like a weird I don't know, like a weird, like Putin and like Steve McQueen got into a headbutting contest.
Yes.
And then this was the police sketch of the horror that resulted afterwards.
Yes. That's a real good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. Like, you mean like the mix, like someone watched them headbutt each other, described mm-hmm. it to a police artist, and the police artist didn't realize he was talking about two people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just made one person based off of it. That's
he's
a good.
Like, oh, this must be the guy.
Yeah. And he plays an ex-researcher for the Hiroshima bomb who's now in Japan. Which, again, I was like, okay. Like, what? It's so weird. It's so weird what happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, 20 years later, it makes sense. It's not like 9/11 where it was like a specific. It's like we were at war. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a different. It's different, but like, it's also just, I don't know.
Is it
it's
different?
So weird.
I don't know how different it is for Japan.
No,
I don't know.
I mean, I guess it's kind of, see, you can't really compare things, but I'd say it's worse. You know, a lot more people died, right? At Hiroshima. And it's just like a horrifying, it's like hand of God shit. I'm surprised, you know, we would ever be forgiven for such a thing. So it's like weird because it's like the film industry didn't care as much, or they're, you know, like, again, this is, I feel like I'm being very ignorant of history right now.
I don't know if you are or not, because I'm pretty sure, like, to the average person,
right,
like the atomic bomb was the equivalent of the government walking in and being like, here's Frankenstein's heart. Like, it's like, it's a weapon that nobody knew of or like had even conceived of, like, right. Regular, like your average person, obviously, like scientists and government people were racing to master it. But like your average person, just like, you know, buying groceries, has no idea there's a weapon out there that's that powerful. Right.
And I guess maybe that's why. Like, I think of being a Japanese citizen or an American citizen at this time watching this movie, and maybe mm-hmm. it's because it was considered as, like, it was the American government that did it. It was the government. It wasn't like, it was like, hey, remember when your government did that really fucked up thing to us? But they, like, maybe that's why movies like this can exist, because it, like, and again, 20 years later, I guess, is a long time.
Is it?
It doesn't seem it. Like, I guess this is all.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is all coming to, like, this feels like too soon. It feels out. It feels in bad taste. Not now. And now it's fucking great.
Well, right now in this year, we are the equivalent distance from 9/11.
I know. That's why
that they were from Hiroshima and
right.
And Frankenstein Conquers the World.
It's so I'm like, it's hard to, because it's not a perfect comparison. It's not one to one, but like it is, feel like a character walks in and is just like, so I'm one of the guys who orchestrated 9/11 and I'm here to help you now. And it's like, oh, I guess this is the main character. Like, it's that it's like, this is an ex-researcher who, and I guess the idea is he didn't know what was going to happen, but I don't know, man.
I don't know. We're going on a weird little side quest.
Well,
here.
It's a big part of this movie because I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Well, and that's explicitly the reason. Like, they want Frankenstein's heart because it's like its regenerative abilities can help with all the radiation.
Right. So it's like this movie coming out at this time, and it's Japanese made. It's like American co-production, but all the people involved.
Right. It had an American writer, and then obviously there's a super white dude in the cast.
Yeah, so it's like, who am I to judge how Japanese culture deals with something like this that happened to them?
Yeah, I mean, I wish we made Godzilla.
Right.
All we made was the Patriot Act.
Yeah, exactly. We did not handle it well.
And a bunch of Jack Ryan movies.
Yep. Yeah. If Jack Ryan had, like, wizard powers because of 9/11.
Right. If Jack Ryan was 100 stories tall.
Yeah. Yeah, they went, like, ultra escapism, which, yeah, I do appreciate. It's just weird to see so much escapism from something so incredibly, like, horrific and real.
Yeah.
I'm just curious what people thought of this movie when it came out.
I don't know. Maybe that's a thing we should think about doing these podcasts in the future, is looking up, like, contemporary critics of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're not going to do it tonight.
Yeah,
not for
say.
Frankenstein Conquers the World.
Yeah, only if we give a shit. We
yeah,
don't have to do that
really
for everything.
Interested. Only if we had these thoughts beforehand, which we didn't, so.
Can I say that Frankenstein looks like unfrozen caveman lawyer?
Yes, you could say that.
Because he does.
Yeah. So they get this, I think, is he a kid? He's like a caveman yeah. boy.
He's like a little cave boy.
Yeah, they find him, he like gets hit by a cab.
I'm unclear, so they put Frankenstein's heart in him as like a transplant? Like, I'm unclear.
Oh, here's what I guessed. Because later they're reading letters. Mm-hmm. And they're reading letters about, and they say a writer
oh, right.
saw
he was in the city when it got bombed.
Yeah, and so I think the heart. Well, no, he says the writer saw a child running around for almost a year after Hiroshima. To which I thought, why didn't whoever that is help the child? But whatever.
Right, like it's like, oh my god, that kid's not feeling the effects of radiation. I'm like, yeah. You don't know that.
Yeah, it's not a stray cat. Go get the kid.
Yeah.
Go get the kid that's, but I think the idea.
I mean, it's like you don't like immediately start glowing or something. Yeah. He's like just breathing it in right now.
Right. Here's what they establish about Frankenstein is they say Frankenstein regenerates his body.
Yeah. Yes.
And so when you have the heart, I think the idea is
so
that.
He regenerated a body around himself. I
exactly.
get
you. They got okay. bombed. I don't think Hiroshima actually had anything to do with it.
Not really. I think it was just to give it more, like, I think it was part because it was part of that text that they were writing with the Godzilla movies, and then also because it was, like, they were talking about that's, like, the reason for them to want to, like, save Frankenstein, and so they
yes.
can figure out how to use his regenerative abilities to combat
yes.
all the hideous radiation poisoning people were dying from.
In terms of creating Frankenstein...
I don't think it did. No. Well, it must have made him. That must have been what made him huge.
Okay. Yeah. I was actually going to ask you about this because I'm unclear why he got huge.
I assume it's because of that. I think it's because.
Okay.
A bolt of lightning gave his heart superpowers. So right. I guess a fucking A bomb just made him.
All right. In that case, this
grow
is.
Grow to mammoth size.
In that case, this is incredible writing because.
It is. It truly is. It truly is.
The question is how do we A, make Frankenstein a thing, and two, make him huge, right?
Yeah.
And so they were like, okay, how do we do this? And yeah, so they had his heart. The heart mm-hmm. is basically released by Hiroshima. And
essentially,
the body is grown around the heart, which is, I think, mm-hmm. why he's like a kid, because he's just new.
Right, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
And then the radiation that's apparently dwelling within him just does what radiation does to, you know, everything, and makes it gigantic.
Right, it hit him like Thing from the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Like Benjamin J. Grimm.
Yeah.
And he just got all huge and swole.
Yeah.
I like that their third problem was, it was like, you know, one, how do we get Frankenstein? Two, how do we get him huge? Three, how do we explain that Frankenstein is Japanese? And this is my favorite solution that they do. The way that they explain that Frankenstein is Japanese is that they glue a Cro-Magnon forehead to his head and they just have everyone in the cast, they just have a scene where everyone says, oh, he's Caucasian, and he's clearly not Caucasian.
Yes, that's all
the
they do.
It's like, well, how do we get around the fact that he's Japanese? Oh, we'll just have everybody say he's not.
Yeah, and I guess that's fine.
it's just perfectly fine. I just love how much they're just like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's like in the Aquaman movie. Well, how can they hear each other underwater? Fuck it. That's how.
Who gives a fuck? You're asking the wrong questions.
Who
my
gives
friend.
A fuck?
Yeah.
Frankenstein is going to throw a tree at a bird, and it's going to miss, and it's going to crash through two dudes' house.
I want to talk about that scene because that was... That was amazing.
That's my favorite moment of the year so far.
That I was going to say.
I know it's not saying much, but I mean, like, I think it might be my favorite cinematic moment of 2019 as well.
Yeah, it's worthy of a Marvel film. That's the thing about that joke. At one point, so Frankenstein's in the woods, mm-hmm. and yeah, he's hunting animals, and it's three shots. He rips a tree out because he sees a bird. he throws the tree, and then they have a shot of the sky and the bird, and the tree goes whiffing. It goes up and then back down, missing the bird.
Because of course it misses the bird.
Of course. And then it's two guys in front of a house, and they're hanging out, and this tree goes wham right into the house. And they're like, oh, shit. It's so fucking good.
They go like tumbling down all over each other.
Yes.
Oh, like Andy Cap fighting his wife.
Yes. This is a comedy, and I'm not sure. I know they know it's funny. I'm wondering what parts they knew were funny, because there's some amazing comedic beats. So they find Frankenstein gets hit by a cab. Yeah. They find him then in a cave, and they kidnap the caveman boy. And that's fine. They say, like, we're looking for his parents and shit, so it's like...
Well, he's been running around eating it. Like, there's another amazing scene where this is the only thing that happens. The camera's parked inside a classroom. All these kids come running in. They all stop in a semicircle and look down. It's this absolutely destroyed rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
And then it pans back up, and they all scream and run back out. And that's it. That's all that happens in the scene. We leave the school. We never go back to those kids or to the school. Yeah. That's it. Beautiful.
That's so good. But I guess this is skipping ahead. There's a part where they're like, we need to confirm that it's Frankenstein. Because they learn slowly that it's Frankenstein. They don't know right away. Mm-hmm. And they go talk to the Nazi scientist who looks like Colonel Sanders.
It's Frankenstein.
Yes, yeah. Sorry. No, yeah, you're right. That's Frankenstein. That's not a Nazi.
Yeah, they go talk to Frankenstein.
And he says that he can regenerate stuff. Limbs. And so they decide that the best way to confirm if this is Frankenstein is to cut off an arm or a leg of the child.
They chop his goddamn hand off.
Yes, but they're like, should we do this? And it's like, at this point, this is probably just a feral kid who lost his family and rushed him up bomb.
And then you got this like weird, wild-eyed, skulleted old scientist going like, no, he's Frankenstein. He can regrow limbs.
Yeah, and they're just like, I guess we better give it a shot.
I mean, how else are we going to... I mean, we don't want to like look back on this moment 20 years from now and be like, oh, man, we should have checked to see if that kid was Frankenstein or not and hacked off a limb.
Right. They could do a toe, but they don't even think to do a toe.
No.
Yeah. And so, and one of them says, the woman is just like, don't do this test. And they're like, but what other means can we use? And it's like, well, how about you just don't need to find out if the old man who says he's Frankenstein is right? Yeah. Why is everybody so accepting that this is Frankenstein? It's casual.
It's the world they live in.
There's an earlier scene where fucking one of the army guys says to the other, says, you said during the war you saw a heart that wouldn't stop beating. And the guy looks into the distance and he goes, I almost forgot about that incident. It's like, did?
Well, you know, like, you know, life catches up to you, you know. I got a lot of errands, man. I don't know. You can't remember every disembodied, still beating heart.
Yeah. The time someone said, this is Frankenstein's heart. But what I loved, and again, I couldn't tell if this was meant for comedy, is they have the conversation about cutting off his limbs, and they're like, oh, I guess we should do it. And then it's a smash cut to the main guy and the main woman merrily making dinner, and he's whistling. And he's and it was just like, what the fuck?
Right, they just had like this, like, yeah, this really morose conversation about whether or not they're gonna just fucking dismember this child. And it cuts to him wearing a big goofy apron, cooking some food, and he's like, see how simple? I'll show you how it is. See, the first thing is to get the right seasoning, and then she's like, no, the first thing is to lasso the bull and catch it, and she does like a lassoing motion.
Right,
it's the zaniest shit.
Yeah, I was like, honey, remember when we talked about chopping off the limbs of a child
earlier?
That was
like 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So are they cooking his limb?
Yeah. Again, everybody is so goddamn casual about what's happening around them.
Maybe that's like some meta commentary. I don't know. Everybody's so great at compartmentalizing.
Yeah, yeah. Like that day, they saw Frankenstein... Mm-hmm. The creature Frankenstein that they didn't know existed, they saw it hurl a TV out a window.
Yeah, that's right. He's watching like American Bandstand or some shit.
Yeah.
And then this guy like starts, it's all these teens dancing, and this one dude just goes like, whoa! Frankenstein gets pissed and just hurls the television out the window.
It's great because I had the similar reaction to that guy. Because he makes like a scream. And it's just like, oh God, damn.
It's not like a rocking out scream.
No, it's not.
It's like a Howard Dean yell. It's like you went for the Axl Rose and it just came out all wrong.
Yeah.
but you're in the middle of it now, so you can't bail, so you have to stick it out through the end.
Right. You have no choice. You're in it. Everybody's in the moment now. You can't escape it.
Oh, shit.
So I think it's after this the Frankensteins gets giant. They're taking pictures of him.
Yeah, they go back to the cage. And like, I think they're gonna like sedate him or something, and they have all these cameras.
Oh, the doctor shows up, and he's gonna cut off a limb.
Yeah,
because the others were like, "You can't do that." And this one, the one guy's like, "Fuck that! I'm gonna just wait till they go home, and I'm chopping this kid's limbs off."
This one doctor doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and again, in that discussion, they're literally they end the discussion of being like, "Well, let's be sure." the discussion begins with basically, I think, 2/3 of them just like, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it right now. And then the woman's just like, wait, maybe we shouldn't chop off a limb of this kid. And then it ends with them going, yeah, okay, maybe we'll wait. Like, that's what they get to.
Yeah, we'll think it over.
Yeah.
Get this dizzy dame out of here.
Yeah, and then two of them leave, and the last one's like, I'm not going to fucking wait.
With the hand chopping.
Yeah. So he goes to chop off his hand.
Sure fucking does.
Is that what caused him to get big?
He's already getting big. Like, when they go there and start taking photos of him, and he starts freaking out. It's just like that, because that's the moment I was like, oh, fuck, he's big. Like, he's getting huge.
I realized this probably playing Frankenstein must have been a lot of fun, because I don't envy kaiju actors, because they're dudes in big rubber suits. This guy is the opposite. He's wearing, like, short shorts. And like, that's it. Like, he's wearing like tattered clothes and he's just running around a model set, just having a blast.
Yeah, he's wearing little, and he's got like the Sid and Marty Krofft thing glued to his face. But other than that, he's just like playing with toys.
Right. We haven't talked about
pretty bitching.
They established this earlier. We haven't talked about the fact that they hint at a kaiju.
They don't hint at a kaiju. They fucking show it to you.
They show it. It bursts out of the ground. Right.
Yeah. Which that shocked me. Like, I thought this movie was gonna be about Frankenstein. I was like, oh, okay.
I think
somebody else is coming to dinner.
Yeah, I think we're at the point in kaiju films where they were like, it's not enough to have one anymore. It has to fight something, which we in America are at that point as well. We did the Roland Emmerich Godzilla, and then we're like, no, and like the King Kongs and stuff. And it was like, no, it has to be fighting something else that's big.
Yeah.
So I think that was, they were like, we have to, Frankenstein isn't the villain. We need a villain. And they at the last minute, like, yada yada over why there's a fucking dinosaur in this. Because again, I thought it was just in the kaiju world.
I don't even remember why there's a dinosaur.
When it bursts out again, they talk to some guy who says like, yeah, it's possible that like dinosaurs were trapped under the ground.
That's not a dinosaur.
That's the thing. It's like an armadillo bat that fires lasers out of its mouth.
Right. Show me where in the fossil record this son of a bitch is.
That thing is fucking nuts. And Frankenstein fucking wrestles it.
30-story laser bat.
Yeah.
He does wrestle it, and it's funny as hell.
Yes.
When he throws it down the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
I laughed so hard. Like, there's this shot of him just flipping this thing down the mountain, and they show him just, like, very, very ungracefully just crashing into the side. Like, its legs get bent up underneath him, and he goes tumbling over.
So good. But before
this... Just like a dude slipping on the steps.
Yeah. There's the boat scene. Now...
The cruise boat?
Yeah, I'm fascinated with the boat scene. Because it shows a boat and everybody's dancing. You notice that no one dancing is smiling? Like, they show the party on the boat, and it's just a bunch of people dancing, but no one is smiling. Everybody looks like they've... This is, like, take, like, 13.
Right, this it's, like, 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
the 13th take.
And then they cruise by the water. Frankenstein emerges from the water. Mm-hmm. The captain sees him and goes, "Oh, no, it's Frankenstein," which...
How? Has this news hit the wire already?
Exactly. Well, how did he know it was Frankenstein?
Or did he just recognize him on sight?
Yeah. Imagine that. Imagine that fucking being a boat captain, living your life, and then having to yell out, "Oh no, it's Frankenstein."
Right. Something so famous bursts out of the water that you recognize it on sight. Like, "Oh shit, it's John Lennon."
Yeah. He bursts out of the water like Martin Sheen in Apocalypse Now. Yeah. And then he just, like, rubs the boat a little, makes really intense face, and then slowly goes back underwater.
Yeah, it's like, a big boat. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just really weird because that scene doesn't actually amount to anything. It's just like, oh, it's Frankenstein. He's going to leer at us and then slowly go back underwater like he's like an animatronic on the river cruise.
Right, it's the Jaws ride.
Yeah. Like, it was such a weird scene. I think it was like...
I guess it was meant to show us, A, how big he's gotten, and B, the perceived threat that he poses.
Yes, yeah.
But other than that, yes, it's a wild scene.
Yeah, and then he goes in the woods.
He interrupted our joyless dance party on this yacht.
Yeah.
Then he fucks off to the woods.
Yeah, to throw trees and try to catch a boar.
The greatest scene in any motion picture.
It might be. It really might be.
Builds like a 150-foot pit trap for this boar, like a regular size boar.
Yeah, and he catches a tank instead.
He winds up catching a tank.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Uh-oh," and like leaves. I could have watched. This could have been the whole movie: is giant Frankenstein getting into trouble in the woods,
mm-hmm. getting into hijinks.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic.
Just have it be like the Tom Waits segment of Buster Scruggs, only it's giant Frankenstein.
Yes, that'd be so good.
I loved every single animatronic animal that they had the monsters attack. Remember when the dinosaur attacks that horse and just starts stomping all over it?
Oh.
And it's like this weird like horse puppet, and it's just kind of flailing very maladroitly around while very real horse sound effects are playing. Like, it's like, and he's just stomping on, like, he's tap dancing on it.
Yep. This is the part in the movie where I believe just like the monster, the dinosaur shows up, Frankenstein's there, and it's just like them getting into trouble. Like, yeah, he attacks, the dinosaur attacks like a ski lodge and then also like a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And he stomps a horse to death.
It really just like two giant monsters getting into like Huck Finn mischief.
Yes.
Like, it's the strangest movie.
And then they all, goddamn, I sort of blacked out here. I remember they all go out into the woods to try to get the dinosaur.
To try to thwart the dinosaur and get Frankenstein, I believe. They're trying to capture Frankenstein without
Right. Dying. And they just start hucking, like, hand grenades at the dinosaur.
They sure do.
The guy's just like, "I brought these," and starts throwing them. Like, he doesn't tell them what he's about to do. He's just like, check these bombs out, and throws them, and everybody's like, "Dude." And the dinosaur just shows up and they start taking turns hucking bombs at him like it's a Jackass sketch. Like, it's like, it's so weird. And then they all start running and they accidentally push down the lady and they forget she's there and they keep running.
Well, she faints.
Okay, they shut.
But
no, they make
do
contact.
Forget she's there.
Yeah, and then they have to turn around and get her.
Yeah,
and that's when Frankenstein shows up.
Yeah, and then it's like the Royal Rumble. Well, no, then it's like the main event at WrestleMania, not the Royal Rumble, because there's only two combatants.
Right, that's fair.
And they wrestle for like 12 minutes.
Yes, it's a big fucking fight. They
it's a
burn,
huge fight.
They burn the forest down. Yep. The army rolls up and they walk up, and I wrote these lines down because Putin turns to the army guys and he says, "There's another monster besides Frankenstein." And the army guy just goes, "What?" and then they don't they just don't continue the
don't
conversation
elaborate.
And then they just stand there and they just stand there and watch it happen.
Honestly,
I don't know what else you'd do.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what else. I'd stand in there and watch it.
And they watch as they burn the forest down, and then Frankenstein wins.
These two monsters just wailing on each other.
Yep. Just, yeah, and then Frankenstein wins by, I believe, just beating it to death. He tears at its head.
Right, he's, like, prying its skull open, and then he just breaks its fucking neck.
Yeah, it's very violent. And yeah. And then Frankenstein is sucked into hell,
right.
More or less.
They've battered the ground beneath them so terribly, and like the forest is so intensely on fire, I guess that yeah, it just the ground caves in beneath him as he's doing his wind pose.
Yeah,
and he holds it. He holds the pose as he tumbles down into hell,
and he's just like just getting sucked down, and then after he gets sucked into the ground, the people observing are just like, well, he'll probably be back.
Right, yeah, like the lady, the main woman says, oh, Frankenstein is dead. And then Putin says, no, Frankenstein is never dead. His heart will never die. I have a feeling we'll see Frankenstein again.
Yep, and then the end.
Yep.
This was so shocking to me, because it was like, wait.
How many kaiju movies have you seen?
Not that many. I do know that they tend to just end.
This is pretty typical. They very abruptly.
It's just funny because I think with kaiju, specifically like dinosaurs or dragons or whatever, it's sort of like, okay, I get it. The damage is over, giant grasshoppers, whatever, where it's like, we know what the monster is.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happened to it. It's dead.
Yes.
I think for me, it was the fact that they were like, well, there goes Frankenstein. I have a feeling he'll be back. And it's like, wait, no, he was just sucked in the ground. He's probably like, you know, like 10 feet in the ground. Or maybe they didn't show him. I guess I didn't get the sense that he like fell into a pit. He just sort of like sucked like quicksand. And then they're just like,
yeah, it was weird.
And
maybe he fell down into the land of the lost.
Right. And it just felt like it was just like, I have a lot of questions. Like,
yeah.
Wait, like you can't just end there. Like,
yeah, I think you can.
I guess you can. I guess there wasn't anything that needed to happen.
Right. He could be like just below this because he's like 100 stories tall.
Right. And I guess I don't need any conclusions with the characters because they're just casually living this whole fucking film.
Oh, they're just exposition mouthpieces. They don't have any characteristics, really. They just say things.
There's no character arcs, yeah.
I couldn't tell you a single person's name.
Yeah, I mean, they're characters the way...
I'm sorry. Frankenstein. There, I got somebody's name.
Yeah.
Wait, there's another character. I got another character. Dr. Frankenstein.
There's two. Okay,
there's two.
That's two. And then just Nazi number one, Nazi number two.
Nazis.
Yeah.
Assorted Nazis.
So these, I guess the realization is that these aren't they're not the same, but they function very similarly to slasher films like Jason films or Freddy Krueger films, where the characters on the side, even they're not there to die, but they're not there to be characters.
No.
They're just there to watch and say, oh, this is what's happening. They're narrators because the kaiju can't talk. So they need someone to talk for them.
Yeah. I think the American versions of these make that mistake by thinking that they need to be characters, and that B, they're there to like die and have us care, because like they're on such vastly different scales that it's just like I watched Godzilla King of the Monsters, and like every time a character died in that, it was like I barely noticed.
Right. And it's like you
got stepped on by King Ghidorah. Like, I don't, like, that doesn't even register. Like,
yeah. Like, also, every time there's a character moment, it's like, oh, I don't give a fuck. Just show me.
Fuck about this. Give me Mothra.
Yeah, I just want to care about Godzilla dying or not. And like, You know, like, he's the only, like, they're the kaiju are the only characters I give a shit about. That said, I appreciate when someone's trying to subvert the genre, like the movie Colossal, or I guess Pacific Rim, where, or like Monster. Yeah, I know. That's why I said I guess. Or like Monster, Monsters, I mean, where it's like the point, or like Cloverfield, where it's like, no, we're actually going to do this from the people's point of view.
Right, yeah.
What people need to understand is that's the subversion. Whereas the if you're making a traditional kaiju film, yeah, you shouldn't give a fuck about the people. You shouldn't even attempt to.
I will say Godzilla King of the Monsters did it a little better than some of the others.
Well, they understood a little more. They were like, oh, they're here to see the kaiju. I think
And it still has to be from, like, if we're going to have these humans, it has to be from their point of view, and we can't be like,
yeah.
Like, it has to keep the scale in check.
Yeah, either that or it has to be so tongue-in-cheek like this. Where it has to be silly.
It's got to be campy, yeah.
Yeah. But if they want to do it in a way that's like, yeah, it's gritty. I mean, that's the first problem is like, I don't need to be gritty.
I mean, it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. Obviously. And it's not the worst. But yeah, it's a weird genre. It's not for everyone, and I think the other thing is there's an instinct when you're writing a movie like this to be like, we need characters, and then it's like, oh, well, those characters need arcs, and it's like, no, I know that's the right way to write like a movie, but in a kaiju film, it might not matter.
Yeah, I don't know. They it seems like an impossible genre.
I think you know who could do. I'm trying to think of a better example. Basically, you know who should do a kaiju film is someone who does comedies. Like, I don't want to say Judd Apatow because obviously not him.
Well, but someone I know Trey Parker and Matt Stone have been threatening to make one for years.
Yeah, someone who every time they cut to the humans, they're just doing a useless bit that doesn't matter. And like, it should be that. It should be like every time it's just like improv comedy. Like mixed with CGI kaiju. Like it should just be like, whatever. Who gives a fuck? Like the humans are just there to be fun.
Gives a shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Because all we care about is Frankenstein. This movie is fucking nuts.
Yeah, this movie. When the other monster showed up, I was like, what is this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a film.
It's so good.
What a motion picture.
I can't stress enough, the throwing the tree is like, that was a modern joke. That felt like a Marvel movie joke. The way the shots were done, because they're all it's three like still shots. And the final shot of the house, you know what's about to happen, but it still makes
it's the timing
hilarious.
Of it. It's like, you're right. It's like a modern joke.
Yeah, because it's not, it's like a meta joke about kaiju. It's like, oh, yeah, and there's people who are affected by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really...
That moment, that whole forest sequence is reason enough to watch this film. It's the silliest...
Should have noted at the top of this, you can find this free online, this movie, guys.
Yeah, it was like somewhere like the National Archives or something?
Yeah, I think it's on the DVDs, but like, I think it's sort of like
there's like we watch it like a film archive or something.
Yeah, and I saw it online in like Blu-ray of like, you know, 10 kaiju films. Like I don't think it had a big impact.
No, this is one of like two dozen they put out in the span of like 15 or 19 years.
Yeah, so it's part of box sets, but as someone who doesn't know many kaiju films, I don't know if this stands out. I just know it stood out to me.
I think it's the only one with a giant person in it.
Really?
Unless we're talking about like Ultraman or something.
I feel like, has Frankenstein fought anybody after this? Frankenstein kaiju. Yeah, there's other Frankenstein. Wait, no, maybe not. No, I can't find any other.
This is the only one I've ever seen with a giant person in it.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen, you know, maybe 12. I haven't seen anywhere near like all of them, but I've seen a few.
Okay, I thought there was another one, but it looks like it's just a different name for this. Yeah. No, I think he might have fought. No, this is the same one. Yeah. I think Frankenstein hasn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's War of the Gargantuas. It was later discovered that some of the immortal cells left behind in Japan by Frankenstein regenerated and took on lives of their own. One of these Frankenstein spawns, Sanda, was raised from childhood by a team of kind scientists before escaping to the mountains. The other, Gaira, grew up underwater surrounded by dangerous creatures and became violent and hateful beasts. And they look like just big, hairy. They look like, you know, in The Shining when the guy's getting a Hummer by the dog?
Yeah.
They look like the dog.
They're like a dog? All right, that's cool.
Yeah, they're just like big. So that's fucked up. I don't know how Frankenstein made this, but I guess it was like they found some Frankenstein jizz and he made these things.
Whatever. Yeah, they grew that jizz in a jar and these are his children.
Yeah, and these, Jesus fucking Christ. I don't know why they felt the need to give him that backstory, but they did.
All right, then.
All right, so Frankenstein is, part of the kaiju, like the canon.
Sure, why wouldn't he be?
Okay. Well, shit. I think that's it. That's all I have.
I think that's a sode, man.
Yeah.
I think that is a sode.
Thanks, Bob Grenville.
Thank you so much, Bob Grenville.
Yeah, this was quite a recommendation, and I think it paid off. I'm glad I saw this.
Yeah, this is a weird one. I didn't know quite what to expect.
Yeah. And you know what? Thanks, everybody, for listening. Right?
Yeah.
You're thankful. You're thankful for that.
I'm very thankful. I'm thankful for Frankenstein. I'm thankful for everybody who listened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely thankful for Frankenstein and his severed hand that, like, moved. We didn't even talk about the fucking moving.
It did move. Yeah.
It was like a Halloween store hand. Yeah, it was fucking weird. Guys, this was created through our Patreon. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. If you're interested, you should check out patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, along with a tier where you can make us watch things. We also have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. We have a new tier where you become a Hypecast producer and you get a mug. And I'm starting a mailing list through that, and so you'll also get like stickers and shit soon.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Someday, Tom, I'm not going to say it now, but we should do a mailbag because we now have an address like that people can mail us shit. So we
should definitely do a mailbag.
Maybe on Hypecast we could do mailbag.
We could do like a Q&A. I know we could do like a Q&A little episode every couple of weeks could be a thing we could do for patrons.
Yeah. I was thinking like with mailbag, like just if anybody wants to send us something,
we can then open it
on the Hypecast or something.
So that's two ideas we just got. Wow,
yeah.
Guys. Wow.
We're fucking great at this.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts, aforementioned stickers and mugs, posters, all kinds of stuff that is ours that you can buy and then it will become yours and live in your house forever, like Frankenstein's Still Beating Heart.
Yeah, I know Frankenstein's Still Beating Heart lives in my heart
and also in yours.
Yep, and also with you. Praise him.
Praise Frankenstein.
Yeah. Excuse any religion. Yeah. All right.
Why not? Why not worship the 100-foot caveman?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't want to get political, but Frankenstein does way more than Jesus in this movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
When was the last time Jesus threw a tree at a guy's house?
Exactly.
Zero times that happens in the Bible.
Yeah. When's the last time Jesus beat a dinosaur to death? It's,
Didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Point Frankenstein.